Hey, what's up, family? It's Coach Josh, and in today's video, we're going to be talking about three things that's blocking your blessing and how we can become a blessed doer. Now, the scripture that I want to read in this video idea came from a gentleman or a lady. I wasn't quite sure who the individual was that posted in the community tab a topic, and it sprung up inside of me. And I was like, man, I got to do this word. But we're going to be talking about three things that blocks our blessings and how to become a blessed doer. And we're going to be reading James 1, 21 through 22, and I have a lot of points to get to. So let's get right into it. James 1, 21 through 22 says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he or she is like a person who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. But he or she looks at themselves and goes away and at once forgets what he or she was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he or she will be blessed in their doing. I have a statement that I want to give you before we get into some preliminary things that kind of sets the tone for what we're going to talk about. And it's this: all of us are doing, but is all of our doings blessed? All of us are doing something, but is all of our doings blessed? Now, I want to define doer from two vantage points. I want to define doer from the original definition of doer, and then I want to define what being a doer of the word is, and then we'll get into some more points. It says a doer is someone who takes action or carries out tasks, typically in response to a specific instruction, command, or goal. In general terms, a doer is characterized by their proactive approach and willingness to actively engage in tasks or responsibilities rather than being passive or inactive. So that's the original definition of a doer. Now let's talk about what defines a doer of the word. A doer of the word is someone who not only listens to or reads the teachings of scripture, but also puts those teachings into practice in their daily life. They actively apply the principles, values, and instructions found in the word of God to their actions, decisions, and interaction with others. So a person who is a doer of the word of God is an individual who just doesn't read. It's not just a person that doesn't take time to study, but it is a person who is proactive, a person who practices the principles. The other video I talked about how principles are everywhere. And those who practice and pattern their lives off of principles will receive the promises. Every principle inside of them, each has a promise. And our goal as believers should be that while we're practicing the word of God, that we'll be blessed in our doing. Now, let's get to the three things that's keeping you from being blessed that's found in the scripture. And we're going to be talking about it elaborately in detail to help us to better understand how we can be blessed in our doing. The three things are this. Number one, you have yet to put away. Number two, you have yet to receive. And number three, you have yet to become. Three things keeping you from being blessed in your doing, whether it is doing marriage, doing singleness, doing business, doing a career, whatever your doing is. These three things will keep you from being blessed in your doing. Number one, you have yet to put away. Number two, you have yet to receive. And number three, you have yet to become. Now, I want to define what it means to be blessed in our doing before I get into those three things. It says, when it says that we will be blessed in our doing, it means that there are inherent blessings and rewards that come from actively living out our faith and obeying God's commands. Being blessed in our doing refers to experiencing the positive outcomes, benefits, and favor that results from our obedience to God and our faithful adherence to his word. These blessings can manifest in various ways. Now, there's three ways in which being blessed in our doing occurs. As I put here, in all doing, there is a blessing. My friend, in all doing, no matter what it is that you're doing, when you find out the principles of God's word that coincides or matches what you're doing, in all doing, there is a blessing. It says here, there's three. You're either getting blessed in your doing, you're becoming a blessing while doing it, or you're being a blessing while you're doing it. There's three types of blessings that we get to experience when we adhere to God's word. Either our doing is we're getting blessed while doing it, or we're becoming a blessing, or being a blessing while doing it. Now, what does that mean? You're either getting blessed. Hold on, make sure I said, in all doing is blessing, you're either getting blessed doing. So while you're doing something, you could be getting blessed. Like when you're giving something to someone, then in a matter of minutes or seconds, there's a return. You're getting blessed while doing it, right? While doing your role as a husband, while doing your role as a wife, you're getting blessed because of your doing, right? The second thing is you're becoming a blessing. See, people don't want to follow God's principles because not all God's principles are prime time delivered. People want to be blessed, but they don't want to be blessed at the proper time. And so many people are like, I'm faithful in God's word. I'm doing these different things, Josh, but I'm not seeing anything. My friend, that blessing, that doing is actually turning you into a blessing. See, the goal is not just to be blessed. The goal is to be a blessing. And the goal is not just even to become to be a blessing, but to become a blessing. Most people want to be blessed. And a lot of people want to be a blessing, but not everybody is willing to be a blessing. What I mean by that is this, is that we have to become a blessing. See, many people, they want to be blessed with a marriage, but they don't want to become a blessing as a husband. They don't want to become a blessing as a wife. They don't want to become a blessing. You have to be it before you be it. You got to be it before you have it. So while you're doing the principles of God, while you're doing the word of God, you're getting blessed by doing it, or you're becoming a blessing while doing it, or you're being a blessing while doing it. And being a blessing means that you're able to retire your mom. You're able to be a blessing to your dad. You're able to pay a bill or whatever. That's being a blessing. And so that's what it means, being blessed in our doing. That while we're doing the word of God, either we're in our season or era of being blessed because of our doing, or the doing that we're doing, which means being disciplined or being a follower of God's word, we're becoming a blessing as an individual, or we're actually being a blessing. Now, let's talk about the three things that keeps us from being a blessing or from being blessed or becoming a blessing. Number one, you have yet to put away. Let's get to the scripture. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. The first principle that a lot of us probably haven't done as thoroughly as we should is to put away. I have some points. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness refers to any impurity and sinfulness in one's thoughts, actions, and character. Most people, they don't think of sin in the thought realm. They don't think of sin when it comes to their character. My friend, most people look at sin based upon the immoral. So people will look at a person that's sleeping around, smoking, doing drugs, vaping, and they'll be like, those are sinners. But a lot of people who are self-righteous, they may not do immoral things, but they have bad character. They may not sin immorally, but they sin individually. They sin as a person. They sin as an individual. So putting away all purity, putting away all filthiness says, I got to make sure that I examine my thoughts. Could it be that your thoughts is what's keeping you from being blessed? Could it be that the way you think, the limiting beliefs is limiting you from receiving the blessing that God has for you? What type of thoughts do you have? You can't expect to be blessed or to become a blessing or to be a blessing if you're blocking your blessings mentally. So we got to put away all impurities and sinfulness in our thoughts. We got to think the word. We have to think in belief. We have to think like a king's kid. We got to have such a solid belief system a faith that is fortified, that we can, what we believe anything is possible. So are you sinning in your thoughts? Because if there's sin in your thoughts, you're not going to get what you ought or what was bought through Christ's blood shed. You see what I'm saying? So we got to begin to say, okay, have I put away those bad thoughts? The filthiness of thinking, whether it's lustful, whether it's bad motives, whether it's insecurities, whether it's self-doubt. What are those limiting beliefs limiting you from becoming the you you need to be? It refers to any impurity and sinfulness in one's actions. How do you act? It's not about how your public actions, also your private actions. What do you do when no one's watching? That's how God measures character. That's how God measures faithfulness. Anybody can act well when we're around other people, but what are our actions like, both public and private? Our blessings get blocked when we're not acting in accordance to the type of individual that we need to be. It says it refers to any impurity and sinfulness in one's thoughts, actions, and character. What kind of person are you? Your character. Filthiness represents moral impurity or contamination, while rampant wickedness denotes uncontrolled and widespread evil behavior. It can be subtle or blatant. In the context of James 1, 21, these terms emphasize the need to rid oneself of sinful attitudes and actions in order to receive and internalize God's words effectively. Before we can even be at a place where we're being blessed or becoming a blessing or being a blessing, we have to put away. What are those sins in your life? Those things you practice in thought form and heart form and hand form. What are those things that you're doing? Because my friend, the blessings are blocking themselves. Could it be that when the blessings are looking for you, they've blocked you because they don't want to be in the hands of a person that's going to misuse the blessing or not be appreciative of the blessing? So in order for us to be in a receptive state, we got to put away. So the number one thing that keeps people, keeps us from being blessed is that we have yet to put away sin. We have yet to put away old habits. We have yet to put away carnality. We have yet to put away. Number two, it says you have, or we have yet to receive. The reason why some of us have yet to be blessed the way we would like to be blessed is because we have yet to receive. The Bible says, receive with meekness the implanted word of God. Let's break that down. Before you and I can achieve, we must receive. Before we can achieve, we must receive. Before we can achieve the outcome of a game, before we can achieve the outcome of anything, we have to receive the playbook. We have to receive something in order to achieve something. Let's break down. Let's talk about receive with meekness. This means to accept or welcome something. In this case, the implanted word of God, with a humble and gentle attitude. Meekness involves a willingness to listen, learn, and submit to God's teachings without pride or resistance. Could it be that the reason why our blessings are not, why our doing is not blessed, doing business, doing marriage, doing singleness, doing career, whatever you're doing, could it be that the reason why our doing has yet to be blessed, could it be that we're prideful or resistant? See, we got to read the word with a meekness about us. We have to read the word with the openness about us. We can't just accept 30% of the word and reject the other 70. You can't even accept 90 and reject the 10. No matter what part of the word you reject, they all interconnect. So if you block one word over here, you block the fullness. So for instance, if for those people who are endeavoring to practice a principle, if we don't practice the partner principle of that principle is voided. And so when you begin to think about that, we have to receive the fullness of God's word, that we have to be open to what it says over here, just like we accept what it says over here. Because what's said over here is connected to what's over here. And when we get interconnected with the word that's already interconnected, man, we're going to be successful. It says in James 1:21, it suggests an attitude of openness and receptivity to God's truth. The Bible says the truth will set us free. To God's truth, allowing it to take root deeply within our hearts and minds. So receptiveness says, no matter what this word says, I'm going to accept it as truth. Because when truth comes through the roof and gets inside of our lives, it begins to set those areas free that has been bounded by lies. Now, let's define what it means by the implanted word of God. The term implanted word of God in the context of James refers to the teachings or principles of the Bible that are deeply rooted within a person's heart and mind. It signifies a profound internalization of God's word where it takes root and becomes an integral part of one's belief system and character. This implanted word is received with meekness, indicating a humble and receptive attitude towards God's truth, and it has the transformative power to bring about salvation and spiritual growth in individuals. So the word has to be implanted deeply. Let's break some of this down. It signifies, or it talks about, that is deeply rooted within a person's heart and mind. So in order for the word to work, we have to allow the word to be deep within. So many people have allowed the word of God to be shallow in their lives. They have yet to allow it to take root. The Bible talks about in Mark 4 about the four types of soils. The Bible talks about the hard soil. It talks about the soil with the stones. It talks about the soil with the thorns. It also says the soil that is good soil. And it talks about how the soil that is good soil will produce some 30, 60, and 100 fold. The Bible talks about that those who are hard-hearted, because the soul is the soil. Your soul, S-O-U-L, is likened into soil, S-O-I-L. And there's two types of farmers, two types of gardeners in this world. Either it's the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. And they're all casting seeds. And the level in the state of your heart determines what would you receive as a harvest. So the seed that fell amongst the ground that was hard, the devil immediately came and plucked it up. So right now, as I'm casting seed in this video, there's four types of listeners. This listener who's the hard-hearted is going to listen to this video. And then as soon as the video's over, the enemy has taken it away because they already have their preconceived notions about the Bible. They already have their preconceived notions about me. They already have their preconceived notions about whatever it is. And the word, which is profitable, if it's planted correctly, has been completely disregarded and not taken into heart. The second group of people are those who have stones in their heart. The Bible says these individuals receive the word immediately with joy because they receive one facet of the word. They receive the blessing of the word. They receive the promise of the word, but they don't want to receive the pruning. They don't want to receive the persecution that comes with it, right? And the Bible says they receive it, but because they had no root, and because of persecution, they don't accept it. Those individuals are hearing right now and they're excited. I want to be blessed and I'm going to endeavor to be a doer of God's word. But then when it gets tough and when the pruning occurs and when God is trying to use your doing to make you into a blessing, an individual that attracts blessings, because in order for you to be blessed, you got to be attractive to the blessing, which means you have to be a blessed individual by default. Because you're a child of God, you're blessed simply by being his child. But in order to attract certain blessings that requires a level of maturity, then certain doings that you got to do, which is sustaining purity and all these different things and putting away certain things consistently, develops you. But these individuals, when it gets started getting tough and then when the temptation starts thickening, they get back to sinning. The third group is those who have thorns in their hearts. The word comes, but because of the cares of this life, it chokes the word and it proves unprofitable. Cares of this life, cares of this world, anxiety, stress is not conducive for for the soul to become the right type of soil to produce the outcome. But those individuals watching right now whose soul or soil has already been cultivated by the Holy Ghost, has already been prepped by the Holy Ghost. And now all of a sudden when a seed is planted, now the soil is so rich with nutrients, joy, love, joy, peace, long. It's the nutrients of the soil. No, it produces organic fruit. And some of us will produce 30-fold, some 60, some 100. But we have to allow the word to get deep. We have to remove the cares of this life in our hearts. We have to remove the stoniness and the hard-heartedness in our lives. Because the receptivity of the word determines the reward we get from the word. The level of our receptivity determines our receivability. And so it says it signifies a profound internalization of God's word. That means you just don't read it. You allowed it to read deeply into you. The Bible says that the word of God is active and sharper than any two-edged sword. When we allow the word of God to do what it do, it will cause deactivation to things that's causing us not to be who we need to be. That's why I give this analogy every time I talk about that point of the word. I talk to my students about how when their moms or dads tell them to go clean a tub, they don't use bar soap to clean the tub. And I said, why? And they said, because bar soap doesn't have the right type of ingredients to clean that deeply. And I said, what type of cleaning resources do they want you to use? Some people say Comet, some people say Fabuloso, right? The reason why your parents or their parents or our parents told us to use Comet or Fabuloso is because they have more active ingredients that's able to get rid of that dirt. And so when you allow the word of God to get into you, it has active ingredients that will activate purposes in your life, deactivate impurities in your life. It activates and deactivates and it cleanses. So the reason why we're not being blessed in our doing whatever it is that we're doing is because we haven't allowed the word of God to be planted deeply. And how we receive the word is half the equation. We have to receive it with meekness. It says this implanted word is received with meekness, indicating a humble and receptive attitude towards God's truth, and it has the transformative power to bring about salvation and spiritual growth in individuals. It says, which is able to save your souls. The word of God's objective is to save your soul, because when the soul is whole, it's able to hold. See, we need that word of God in us to save the way we think, to save the way we remember, to save the way we conjure up ideas, to save the way we collect knowledge, to save the way that we perceive, to save the way we develop skills. That's a part of our soul. So we need the word of God. That's why the Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So number one, we talked about that the reason why our doings may not be blessed is because number one, we have yet to put away. Number two, we have yet to receive. Last but not least, we have yet to become. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Before we get into being a doer, we got to talk about the word that comes before doing, a doer, and that's the word be. Let's define what be is. In the context of be doers, the term be implies an active state of existence or behavior. It means to embody or manifest a particular quality or action. Excuse me. In this case, the act of doing. So to be doers mean to actively engage in carrying out or putting into practice the teachings or instructions found in the word of God. It emphasizes not just hearing or knowing about God's word, but actively living it out in one's daily life. My friend, in order for us to become a doer, we have to become. We have to become the individual that's able to do. So the reason why a lot of people have yet to really be blessed in their doing, because they're doing something they have yet to become, or they can't do it because they have yet to become. See, there's a formula that I do in my high fulfillment where I coach entrepreneurs, high achievers, high performers, and group coaching or individual coaching. I put them through five steps. And the core of that five steps is becoming. The first step is awareness, where I help people divine, become aware of the holes that's keeping them from holding holistic success. Because a lot of these entrepreneurs that I coach, they're very successful financially, very successful in their career, or they're achieving success, right? But they're not successful in their family. They're not successful in their marriage. They're not successful in their walk with God. They're not successful in their own health. And so my goal is to help them become aware of the holes that will then eventually put holes in their money bags, right? So once I help them to become aware, then I start attacking their belief system, because a lot of those individuals, it's hard for them to believe that they can be a great husband. It's hard for them to believe that they can be a great father. It's hard for them to believe that they can actually walk with God and not be in that sin. It's hard for them to believe. So we work on their belief system. After we work on their belief system, we start working on helping them to become the individual that can do what needs to be done holistically so they can have what they need to fulfill. So becoming says be and come. I love that word because it's be and come. The goal is not to go after the things that we want. It's for those things to come after us. In order for those things to come after us, we have to be magnetic. We have to be so attractive that those things are rushing, looking for us. The reason why we're not blessed in our doing, because we haven't become the husbands we needed to be. We haven't become the wives that we needed to be. We haven't become the spouses, the fathers, the mothers. We have yet to become. So you're doing marriage, but you're doing marriage wrong. You're doing parenting, but you're not blessed in your parenting. You're doing marriage, but you're not blessed in your marriage. You're doing entrepreneurship. You're doing business, and you're not blessed because you have yet to become. You may have some success, but you don't have the best success because you have yet to become the individual capable of being blessed at doing it. God doesn't always bless our doing. He doesn't bless our doing if our doing is not done in accordance to his word and is not done with the right heart. So you have to become the man of God, become the woman of God, become the husband, become the father, become the wife, become the mother, become the individual that can actually be qualified to be blessed in their doing. You have to be it before you do it, and you have to do it before you have it. So yeah, we're doing a lot of things, but we're doing it stressed. What's the scripture say? It says, but be doers who act, he will, she will be blessed in their doing. A lot of us are being stressed in our doing and not blessed in our doing. I've learned with walking with God, it's easier to be blessed by God. It's easy to be blessed if you really get to the place where you become the person. When you become the person, it becomes smoother. Now, certain blessings are not based upon what you do. Some blessings are based upon timing. But I'm talking about your marriage. I'm talking about stuff that's already been acquired, things you've already have, being blessed because you are a blessing to it. Be it being blessed, your marriage, your business. Like, we're supposed to be supernaturally blessed in our doing. So while people are watching what we're doing, they're wondering, how are you getting this without sweat? How are you getting this and it's so easy for you? It's because I have become. It's because you have become. Let's keep going. So it says be doers. The term be implies an active state. That means I have activated a certain state of living. I've activated a certain state of believing. So now a person has gotten to a place where they're able to say, you know what? I am a doer. So God knows when it's time to write a book, he knows I'm going to do it. He knows that if he wants me to do something in my marriage, he knows I'm going to do it. That's a state that I strive to stay in. Because some of us, we've reached that state before, and I stay humble with this because at any given moment, I can start moving out of state. I don't want to just get to a state and then move out of state. I want to stay in that state. So even I got to continue to do the word of God daily to sustain a level of doing and sustaining a level of blessing where the favor of God is everywhere. A doer of the word is someone who not only listens to read, let's talk about doer, read the teachings of scripture, but also puts those teachings into practice in their daily life. They actively apply the principles that has promises the values and instructions found in the Bible to their actions, decision, interaction with others. Now, the Bible talks about hearers. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's talk about what a hearer is and how they deceive themselves. A hearer deceives themselves by simply listening to the teachings of Scripture without actually applying them in their lives. They may gain knowledge and understanding of the principles, but fail to put them into action. As a result, they deceive themselves into thinking that they are fulfilling their spiritual obligations by merely hearing the word, when in reality, they are not living according to his teachings. My friend, you can know it, but if you don't flow with it or show it, you're not gonna have it. And a lot of people are just hearers on there waiting on God to get things done, but you can't spell done without do.
Wow.
You and I can't spell done without do. If we want God to get her done, we got to get to doing. And this ain't about works, right? We ain't talking about your position in God. We're talking about your promotion in God. Positionally, it is what it is. I'm a child. Positionally, you are a child if you accept Christ, your Lord and Savior. But when it comes to promotions and promises, those things will not get done if you don't do. And people deceive themselves thinking that, oh, I've done enough. I know the word. But man, I'd rather know five scriptures. I'd rather show five scriptures than to know 50 and can't have nothing to show for it. I know people that knows hundreds of scriptures but have nothing to show for it. And I see people who've delved deep into knowing five, and their walk with God is alive and well. So are you a hearer? Have you applied the word of God when it comes to being a man, a woman, a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a business owner, a career woman, a career man, a business woman, whatever it is, are you doing what the word of God says? We're not talking about doing in one regard. We're talking about doing it holistically, from character to thoughts to actions. We have to be holistic doers if we want to be holistically blessed. Now, let's talk about four reasons why you must become a doer. And I'm done. And I got a worksheet for you as well. And that worksheet is available on my website. I am unplugged. MyCoachJosh.com /worksheet. Let me go ahead and download that website for you so that you'll be able to download it. There we go. How to become blessed in our doing worksheet, blessed in our doing worksheet. And so get ready, because here are four motivators or four reasons why we, thank you, Kizzy. God bless you, my sister. Thank you so much for your support. And all those who give, all those who buy books, who purchase programs, who are part of my communities, man, y'all are so generous, man. And y'all have been such a blessing to me and my family. And I just want to say thank you all for those who have been giving, those who are currently giving, and those who are thinking about it. We greatly appreciate it. But let's get back into it. So thank you, Kizzy, for that support. We appreciate you. And all for those who looking ways who want to do business with me, whether it's coaching programs, books, card games, or if you just feel led to give, we just accept your generosity, appreciate it in advance. Now, here are four reasons why we must become doers. D-O-E-R. Doers? Did I put an S in here? Four reasons why we must become a doer. There we go. Four reasons why we must become a doer. Number one, because of our dependence. D, because of our dependence. The reason why you and I must be a doer is because of those who are dependent on us. We're talking about family. It says, as a doer of the word, your actions or our actions impact not only our lives, but also the lives of those who depend on us, such as family, friends, and community. By living out God's commands and principles, we set an example of faith, integrity, and obedience for others to follow. Our commitment to being a doer inspires and encourages those around us, helping them grow spiritually and navigate life's challenges with strength and courage. So the reason why you and I must become a doer of God's word, why we must take this very seriously, why we got to put away, why we have to put away, and why we have to, what's the other phrase? Why we have to receive with meekness, and why we must become, is because of our dependence. Who is watching you? We're talking about your son, your daughter, your family, your spouse, your people. The reason why we must become doers is because there are people depending on our doing. My friends, right now, I'm telling you, my wife and my daughter is depending on me to fulfill my purpose as a provider, a protector, and a priest over my home. So I have to continue to stay in that state of doing. I can't stop doing a husband, no matter how difficult husband can be at times, or how father can be at times, or how providing, protecting, and priestly duties can be at times. I can't stop doing that. They're dependent on it. I have to do these videos. I have to do these books. I have to do them because I'm thinking about my children's children. The Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance toward his children's children. The Bible says the blessings of a father, or the inheritance of a father, is houses and lands. I want to give my daughter, my children's children, houses and lands. So I can't just be sitting here on waiting for blessings to come. I got to be a blessing. I don't got time to wait for a blessing to come. That's what's crippling a lot of Christians right now. They're waiting for blessings without first becoming a blessing. Because blessings don't come unless you match the level and state and quality of the blessing that you want. You can't be waiting. You can't wait on the seashores of singleness, waiting for the marital boat to come in. If you have yet to be a wife that can board a relationship like of that nature, you have yet to become a husband. Now, you can be married, but your marriage won't be blessed. It will just be stressed. So we have to become a doer because of our dependence. Number two, we have to become a doer because of our oppositions. We have to become a doer because of the opposition. Being a doer of the word is essential in the spiritual battle against the enemy. Our obedience to God's commands and our active resistance to temptation and sin serve as a powerful weapon against the schemes of the devil. By consistently aligning our actions with God's truth and righteousness, we thwart the enemy's attempts to derail our faith and hinder God's purposes in our lives. Our steadfastness and obedience weakens the enemy's influence and brings glory to God's name. That's why we have to be a doer. That's why we have to pray. That's why the reason why we have to be alert and discerning, because of the opposition. The opposition loves people who are just hearers. They're afraid of people who are doers. So the reason why you and I must become a doer is because of the opposition. Number three, the reason why we must become doers is because of the epistle readers. Because of the epistle readers, or those who will read our lives as living epistles and turn to God. Let's read. As a believer, our lives serves as a living testimony or epistle that others observe and read. Our actions, attitudes, and choices communicate volumes about our faith and relationship with God. By being a doer of the word, we demonstrate the transformative power of God's truth and love in our lives, drawing others to him. That's why God wants us to be a doer, because when they see that we're blessed in our doing, then people naturally want to be blessed in their doing, but then they actually got to become a child of God. They have to repent, et cetera, in order for them to do that. Our obedience and faithfulness can lead others to salvation, healing, and restoration as they witness the tangible evidence of God's work in our lives. That's why, my friends, we have to be a doer. Number one, because of those that depend on us. Number two, because of the opposition. Number three, because those who need to read our lives which would then lead them to read the word of God. Because if we practice the principles of God and we're blessed because of it, people, because they're going to want to read the word of God, to read the principle, they're going to be blessed of it. And while they're doing the principles, the goodness of God will draw them to repentance. Last reason why you and I must become a doer is because of the rewards. Come on, man. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with being rewarded. Being a doer of the word positions you and I to receive the abundant blessings and rewards that God has prepared for those who obey him. God has already prepared closets full of blessings for us that is waiting on us to reach a level of blessedness, not positional blessedness. We're talking about blessedness in stewardship ability and capability. When we faithfully follow God's commands and live according to his will, we align ourselves with his purposes and plans for our lives. As we walk in obedience and trust, we experience the fullness of God's provision, protection, and favor. Our obedience opens the doors to God's promises and enables us to live the abundant life he has destined for us, both now and for eternity. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to be blessed. I have to be blessed down here, because ain't nobody going to follow a poor man. Nobody's going to listen to a poor woman. We're talking about poor in spirit, poor in soul, poor in body, poor financially, poor relationally. Nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to want what you're trying to pour if you're poor. And so when you begin to think about that, you say, okay, man, what are the rewards? God looks out for those who look after what he wants them to look after. He looks out. No, God understands you need houses, cars, money, food down here. And a level of living is based upon your level of obedience. And I'm not saying everybody's supposed to be a multimillionaire, but man, we ain't supposed to be out here raggedy and poor and begging. We're supposed to be the head and the tail, above or not beneath. We're supposed to be givers and not borrowers. So four reasons I gave you on why we must be motivated to become doers. Number one, because of our dependence. Number two, because of the opposition. Number three, because of the those who will read our living epistle. And because of the rewards. All four of these are good, solid reasons. And if you're at a place right now where you're like, coach, I'm just a hearer, my friend, you have to take this very seriously. Let's get the worksheet out real quickly so that you'll be able to see how you can apply this right now into your life with this worksheet right here. It's free. Just go to my website, mycoachjosh.com/worksheets, and you'll be able to get that worksheet immediately. Now, becoming a blessed doer or a blessed doer. Number one, I want you to reflect. Reflect on your current state. Take a few moments to reflect on your current approach to living out God's word. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 regarding how effectively you apply God's commands in your daily life. Are you receptive or are you resistant? Number two, identify challenges. List three obstacles or challenges you face in becoming a doer of God's word in whatever area. Reflect on how these challenges may have impacted your spiritual growth and obedience. Section two, understand the importance of being a doer. Delving into scripture, I want you to take some time to meditate on James 1, 22-25. Reflect on this passage significance and what it teaches about the importance of being a doer of the word. Here's some reflective questions you can think through. How does being a doer of the word align with God's desires for his people? What are the consequences of being a hearer only according to this passage? Why is it important to bridge the gap between hearing and doing? That reflection would kind of begin to motivate you to a degree. Overcoming barriers, section three. Identify barriers. Identify three common barriers or excuses that have prevented you from being a doer in the past. Reflect on how these barriers have hindered your spiritual growth and obedience. Next, developing strategies. Brainstorm potential strategies for overcoming each identified barrier. And if you need help with that, of course, you can book a coaching session with me, and I would love to walk you through this worksheet. Next, consider practical steps you can take to address these barriers and cultivate a mindset of obedience. Section four, committing to action. Setting goals. Number two, action plan. Number three, accountability. Section five, reflection evaluation. Takes time to regularly reflect through. Schedule regular times for reflection evaluation of your progress. Adjust your approach if need be and celebrate your successes. And I do believe that this worksheet right here will help you get onto the road of being a blessed doer. So I pray this video was a blessing. I'm going to answer a couple of questions. I'm going to go. And if you at the state, man, and you at a place where you like, coach, man, I want to get to a place where I can become a doer when it comes to being a husband, a doer when it comes to being a wife. Coach, I want to be a better doer as a parent, a better doer as a spouse, a better doer as a child of God, a better doer as a single, a better doer, a better doer. Coach, I'm doing pretty well professionally. Coach, I'm doing well in this area or that area, but I need some help in making sure that I become a blessed doer in all of my doing. If this resonates with you and you want to get to a place where you're doing at a high level and seamlessly interconnecting every area of your life to do it at a high level, then check out my Fulfillment Elite coaching program. It's available on my website, mycoachjosh.com. I'll post that link now. It's a coaching program, year coaching program, 6 months to a year, depending on the results that you get. And if that's something you're ready to work on and you're ready for some accountability and some support, and this sounds desirable for you and you're ready to do the work, because it takes work, my friend. It takes work in order for things to work out in a certain regard. And if you're ready for that, then we'll schedule a call this week and we'll see how we can serve, how I can serve you in that regard. Also, if you're ready to do the dues, because everybody wants a due season. How many single people out there is like, man, I'm waiting on my due season? Raise your hand. Comment, I'm waiting on my due season. How many single people right now, I'm waiting till you comment, who are like, man, I'm ready for my due season. Put due season in the chat. You're saying, coach, I'm waiting on my due season, my boo season. Once I get a couple people posted, I'm going to go ahead and keep going. Make sure you like and comment. My cousin says she got her hands up. She's ready for, Unique says she's ready for her due season. D-U-E, she ready for her due season, the dues. So my cousin, due season, everybody looking for their due season. Now, in order for you to receive your due season, which is your quote unquote boo season, you got to do something in this season. In order to reach your due season, D-U-E, you got to do in this season, D-O. And so if you're ready to do what must be done, for you to become attractive enough for the season that you want due, then my friend, I have a community for you called Thriving Solo. Right now, Unique Lewis, I don't know if Unique want to write about it, but Unique's in that community. We have some others in the community, and she's growing, and she's working on her singles right now in the month of March. We're marching through what it means to be authentic as a single person, because you don't want to be married to someone that's married to the fake version of you or the copy version of someone else. You want someone to marry somebody that's authentically them. And so if you're looking for a community where you invested in yourself, because those who invest in themselves bring out the best of themselves, and you're ready to tap into Thriving Solo, and check out Thriving Solo right now. I'm gonna go ahead and post that link as well. And let's get to work and growing your singleness so that you can become a person that loves being single, that's content with being single, that's ready to profit in their singleness, that's ready to take their singleness to the next level. Because my friend, if you can't handle your single season, you ain't going to do well in your mingle season. So I think that if you're in a relationship right now, whether dating or courting or married, and you're like, man, we got some work that we got to do. You've had a rough patch right now. Or you guys are at a level of inspiration. Like, man, we want to really take the nations for God. But you know, you got to put some work in. And if you're ready to work on your relationship, work on your courtship, or work on your marriage, and you really want the tools and resources to ensure that you become an individual or a couple that has marriage held in high honor, then check out Thriving Together. This is a community designed to help couples thrive together. And so monthly, you get tools and resources and access to me to help you get you to a level where you're thriving together and all that good stuff. And Unique says she's becoming. That's the whole purpose of these communities, is to help you to become. So check those out. Check out all the books, card games, all that good stuff that's available on my website, mycoachjosh.com. And to go over some of those books, the first book that I have is Multi-Purpose. It's a book designed to help you understand all of your purpose. Everyone is trying to find their purpose. for their future purpose, for their overall life, but they're not fulfilling their daily purposes. This book teaches you the principles of fulfilling all your purposes. Because what's the point of me fulfilling my purpose as an entrepreneur, as a preacher, if I'm not fulfilling my purpose as a husband or a father? So that book is there. If you struggle with soul ties or strongholds, and you want to untie those soul ties, uproot those strongholds, so that you can be free, and check out this book, Purpose of Freedom. If you're looking at something right now, whether it's an opportunity or an individual, and you're not quite sure if it's a counterfeit or a counterpart, or you want some tools or resources to deepen your discernment and to help you test things well to make sure you always receive God's best, then check out this book, Counterfeit or Counterpart. It's a great resource there. If you struggle with your feelings and are getting in the way of you fulfilling your purposes in life, this Facts Over Feelings book journal is a great resource that will help you with that. If you want to better hold the things in your life and you really want to better understand wholeness, so you'll stop holding mess, but you can hold God's best, this book, this journal will teach you about wholeness and help you develop in that area. If you're single right now and you want to better understand the purpose of singleness so that you can maximize it and find the hidden treasures and blessings in singleness that was meant to be carried into marriage, then this book, The Purpose of Singleness, will be a great book for you. If you're dating someone, if you're a person that's single or dating someone or married, this dating prep book's a great book. You're asking, how is this book good for those singles out there? Well, it helps you develop your core values, your non-negotiables. It helps you have within your repertoire a series of questions so that you'll be without question face-to-face with the one that God has for you. For those who are dating or courting at the moment, these are some good questions to ask to make sure that you guys are on the same sentence, in the same paragraph, on the same page. It's not good just to be on the same page. Y'all got to be in sync in the sentence. And also, if you're married, these are just some great questions, fun questions to get to know your significant other very well. So Dating Prep is a great book there. If you have a young person, third or fourth grade and up, and you want them to find their art early and start working into their purpose early, this book, as he says, would be a great book for them. If you struggle with spiritual warfare, man, there's so many books. If you struggle with spiritual warfare and you want to be, how do I even say this book? And you want to better understand the whole armor of God, then this book, World War Me, will be a great resource for you. That's 10 books. The 11th book will be coming out in a couple of weeks. I'm excited about it. I don't even got the copy up here. I can't show y'all because it's a proof copy. But we got other books coming. So let me see what kind of questions we have. I got time, maybe one or two more. They says, hey, Coach Josh, tell me this. Is gambling a sin? Yes, because gambling, anything that could jeopardize or impact stewardship is a sin. Gambling is a sin. First off, because you're putting something at risk, and also you're trying to reach a level of prosperity or provision in a way that's gambling. That, like, if there's too much of a gamble, and God wants us to be stewards. And so gambling is a direct attack on stewardship and families, and it's an addiction for some. Now, let me think about that, because I just think 98% of the reasons why people gamble is a sin, in my opinion. Kesavia says, Coach, I be having blasphemous thoughts against God. How to overcome them? Well, you overcome them by getting to know him. You got to get to know him more. The enemy, those are probably not your blasphemous thoughts, because if you're asking this question, you're not trying to blaspheme God. So you got to begin to assess, okay, where do I need deliverance? And what is delivering these type of thoughts into my life? That means you got to watch what you watch. You got to watch what you listen to. You got to watch what you're around. And you got to begin to, message me tonight and I'll send you a list of spiritual warfare prayers that I think will help you with something. You know what? Because I don't know you enough. I don't know your mature level spirit. So I don't want to give you a tool that may set you up. And so I'll just give you the practical things that you can do to get into that position where you're able to ward off once you get them off for you. That's just me being wise, because I don't want to set you up, because the Bible says when a demon leaves, after a period of time, it'll come back and it'll endeavor to be stronger, because it brings up to seven times more demons with them. But you overcome those blasphemous thoughts by first getting to know God. I want you to get a sheet of paper. I want you to write down, as you do your study about the attributes of God, I want you to look up scriptures on God's love for you, God's goodness towards you, God, you being God's daughter and God's child. The more you begin to meditate on that word of God, the more you will arm yourself with the right type of wording and messaging towards those thoughts. And then those thoughts will begin to leave because you're thinking on things at a higher frequency. And so if you're having those blasphemous thoughts, you got to begin to start thinking on things that are higher and more above than where you've been thinking, my friend. I got to go. Love you all. Thank you so much for your generosity in advance. Those who are supporting, however they support. Some people are giving back to our mentoring program. Some people are getting books right now. Some people are getting card games. Some people are going through the programs, thinking about a coaching program. So however you're doing that, my family and I, we appreciate your generosity and trust in advance. Let's see what else. You're so welcome, my sister. I love you all. I'll catch y'all next time. Peace.